I thought I had finished exhorting one another. Right? I finished First Thessalonians chapter 5, right? 14 through a 22, and I thought, okay, that series is done. Well, you know, as you keep reading the Bible, you start seeing exhorting. Exhort, 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 and it's all over the scriptures. And so I thought, I'm not done with that series yet. There's more to be said about exhorting one another. And so here I am, doing it again, part number 5. So let's start with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, that it is so concise, that it teaches us so many things, that, Lord, even when we think we've said it all, Lord, there's still more to be said. And, Lord, as we look at exhorting one another tonight, Lord, help us to learn. Help us, Lord, to exhort each other, because we need to. Lead us and direct us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm already sweating, so I'm going to take this off. Here we go. It is much warmer up here. Tom, you're right. It is warmer up here than it is in the pews. All right, so let's get started. If you remember, and I got to turn this on first. There we go. That back in July, I would started this series. I did 2, and then I did 1, and then I did another one in, I think, November, and now there is one now. You know, just 1 Thessalonians 5, what starts out, now we exhort you, brethren. And then it gave us 13 things, remember? That word exhort means to call near, or to invite, to console, to comfort, to call for, to speak to, but it also means to implore, to beg, or request earnestly. Paul was telling us, calling us near, begging us to do those 13 things. Warn those who are unruly. 2, comfort the faint-hearted. 3, uphold the weak. 4, be patient with all. 5, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. 6, always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. 7, just rejoice always. 8, pray without ceasing. 9, in what everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in what Christ Jesus for you. Number 10, do not quench the Spirit. Number 11, do not despise prophecies. Number 12, test all things, hold fast what is good. Number 13, abstain from every form of evil. That's the 13 things Paul said. But now I got a bunch more for you that are all what throughout the scriptures. We find many more just exhortations throughout the scriptures. And so there are number 14. So I'm going to add to 13. This is number 14. We're exhorted to obey God's voice. So turn with me to a Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 7, please. Jeremiah 11, 7. Says this. For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, obey my voice. Well, it can't get any clearer than that. The what King James says, that is the word protested. It is the word exhorted. God exhorted his people to obey his voice. Obey my voice. And what? Notice when it started. Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm just ahead of myself. The word protested means to duplicate or to repeat, to exhort or and join solemnly, admonish, charge, to give warning. God was charging his people, warning his people, exhorting his people, obey my voice. God exhorted them, warns them, obey my voice. This exhorting, just warning, started, notice, when they came out of Egypt. So for hundreds of years, he was exhorting them. But they didn't obey, did they? Over and over again, They disobeyed. They didn't follow his exhortation. They didn't listen to his protesting. Obey my voice. Instead, they refused. John Gill says God solicited their observation of his precepts for their good, and would strictly caution them against neglect and with disobedience. But they did not heed God's voice. They did not heed God's voice. And so the application to us. How's your obedience? Do you heed the voice of God? Do you listen to what he says? Do you do it? Or do you just put it off and just neglect obeying God? That's what the Israelites did. God exhorted them, obey my voice. And they refused. May we not be like that. May we listen to his protests. May we listen to his exhortation to obey his voice. Number 15. We're exhorted to be of good cheer. And turn with me to Acts 27, please. Acts 27:22. I'm sorry, I'm going to have you jump around a little bit tonight in the scriptures. Acts 27:22. Excuse me. Paul speaking. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. The King James puts it this way, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there will be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now think about where Paul is. In what context, he is on a ship that is in a very bad storm. What tempestuous wind has begun to blow. The ship is about to be lost. They've tossed things overboard. They've dropped anchor. And nothing's working. They haven't seen the sun. It's been cloudy. Raining, probably windy. And he exhorts everyone, be of good cheer. That doesn't seem to make any sense, right? They all think we're going to die. Be of good cheer. And Paul exhorts them to be of good cheer. What does that mean? This word exhort is what different than the other word exhort. It means to recommend or advised to make a different course. They were being exhorted to think differently. Think differently. They are terrified, fearful, hungry, and in despair. And Paul exhorts or urges them to take a different course. Be of good cheer. Paul, why would you say that? Why would you be saying that? Be of good cheer. Look what's happening all around us. Look what's happening. And you're telling us, be of good cheer. Change the course of our minds. Be of good cheer. How is your life shipped today? How is your ship called life? Do you need to take a different course? And be of good cheer. How could Paul be of good cheer? Look at verse 23. For there stood by me this night, an angel of the God in whom I belong and whom I would serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Because of God. God was there with him. Christian, isn't God with you? In all that you're facing, he's right beside you. He's in you. He's above you. He is below you. He's in front of you. He's behind you, and he's all around you. Be of good cheer. There's nothing you and God can't do together, or God and you can't do together. Nothing. Be of good cheer. Change your mind. Change your heart. Be of good cheer. Application, do you need to take a different course? Be of good cheer. Going to the nursing homes, I see just what not having any cheer is, not having any joy is, because some people are so downcast and despondent. But you know, just a simple smile. Just a simple, hi, how are you? Changes that. Sometimes it gives them cheer. It gives them joy. It makes them glad. Just a simple hello. Just a simple smile. And it is amazing to watch how that can change a person like that. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Number 16. We're exhorted to work in quietness and eat your own bread. Right? 2 Thessalonians 3, please. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 3. I got a new Bible case and I can't get my fingers in there yet to get to the pages. It's too tight here. All right. 2 Thessalonians 3, please. Verses 10 through 12. Whoops, I'm in 1 Thessalonians. There we go. All right. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12. And it says this, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Verse 12. And this word exhort is the first exhort that we had back in 1 Thessalonians. It means to call near, invite, console, comfort, call for, or just to speak to, beg, or to request earnestly. You hear, Paul is telling them, work quietly and eat your own bread. They're exhorted to work in what? Quietness. And that word quietness there means in what? Stillness. That is desistance from bustle. Or what? Language. When I worked in a just machine shop, man, there was always things going on and lots of bad language. Lots of bad language. Even listening just to the football games. And just highlight. Sometimes they have them mic'd up. You hear all kinds of language. But God is telling us, be quiet. Be still. Don't get bent out of shape, but work quietly. We are also just exhorted here just to eat our own bread. Now, I've got a story about that. When I was dating Ellen, mom and her husband, and what Friday nights, they would have excellent meals. Her what husband then could really cook. Yeah, he would make great steak meals and all kinds of stuff, everything homemade. Well, all of a sudden, they started having friends stop in Friday afternoon, staying for dinner. Week after week after week after week, they weren't invited. They just stopped by and would get a free meal. Well, we're told not to do that. Guess how they got rid of them? They finally said, enough is enough. So one day, after the meal, they had a dog at that point. He took the plates, he put it on the floor. The dog licked the plates and he put it right back in the cabinet. That's how he got rid of the people. They never came back. Right? Eat your own bread. Eat your own bread. And they weren't doing that on a Friday night. The Believer's Bible Commentary says we are exhorted to work without fanfare and earn our own living. And this is a good testimony and glorifies God. Be quiet and work. As I talk to my sons who are supervisors, they say, Dad, people are on the phone. They don't want to do anything. Nobody wants to work hard anymore. But God tells us to work quietly, to work hard. That's what we should be doing, eating our own bread as well. And Adam Clark says, with silence, leaving their tail-bearing and officious intermeddling, less noise and more work. Yeah, I used to work with guys like this who were always talking about things, always having a story, always having a joke, not doing just what they were supposed to be doing. Application, how's your work ethic? Do you need to be exhorted to work quieter and harder? Paul exhorts us to do that. Work hard and eat your own bread. Next, 17, exhort and convict the gainsayers. Turn with me to Titus 1:9, please. All right, Titus 1:9. Pass through Timothy and you'll come to what Titus. 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus 1:9. And it says this, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. And those who contradict are the gainsayers, what King James says. And this word exhort is the same as the first, to call near, invite, console, comfort, call for, to speak to, beg, or with request earnestly. You know, Paul is telling Timothy, exhort them. Exhort them. And what convict? The gainsayers. And that word convict there just means to convince, to confute, admonish, tell a fault, rebuke, reprove. You know, in today's society, nobody wants to be rebuked, right? You don't respect me, they say, if you call them on the carpet. But the Word of God tells us to do it. Do it. Rebuke if it's needed. Who are we to exhort and convince? It is the gainsayers, those who contradict. And that word means those who dispute, who refuse, who answer again, who deny, and who speak against. I know a lot of people like that. In just one of my Bible studies, there's a lady named Emily. She's on hospice, and I've been praying for her salvation. Sometimes when I'm there, she says, I just wish he would get in his truck and go home. I wish he would shut up. Yeah, she's a gainsayer. She doesn't want to hear anything I have to say. Oh no, she wants to watch television. Then I find out she can't see the television. But that's all. But I just want to see the TV. And then I talk to the nurse, and she says she can't see the TV. It's too far away. But all she does is contradict. Sometimes she says he's a liar under her breath. Gainsayer. Speaks against. All the time. But I am hoping that there is still time for her to be saved. I don't know. I haven't seen her. She's in her room, which is next to the room I'm in sharing. So hopefully she's still hearing me. But she's one of these. She's one of these. Kill them with what kindness, I say. Don't let the gainsayer get under your skin. Exhort, convince. John Gill says about gainsayers, such who resist the truth, they oppose themselves to it, cavil at it, and object against it. And that word cavil means just to object for no good reason. And that's Emily. That's Emily. To make objections about something on small and unimportant points. Like somebody says, I don't go to church because there are too many hypocrites there. Yeah, well, I bet you're one too. Right? One unimportant point. Yeah, I'm not going to get saved because he's a hypocrite. I'm not going to hear the truth because he's a hypocrite. And gainsayer. Do you know people like that? Just the application. Are you exhorting and just convincing the gainsayers? Or do you back down and say nothing? Sometimes it's easier to back down and what say nothing. But just we need to prayerfully exhort them. With the truth. Next, number 18. We're exhorted to be sober-minded. Sober-minded. Turn with me to Titus 2:6. Okay, Titus 2:6. You may not even need to turn the page there. Titus 2:6. It says this, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Here, Paul is speaking specifically to younger men, be sober-minded. That word sober-minded means just to be of what sound mind, to be in one's right mind, to exercise self-control or to curb one's passions. And think about young men. Sometimes young men have a lot to say, don't they? But it's not based on experience. But be sober-minded. And then Albert Barnes says what young men should be steady in their behavior and just superior to sensual temptations and what constant in the exercise of every part of self, government or with self-control. we need to exhort the young men. My sons, I exhort. They go here, they go there. Stay out of trouble. Don't get involved just with those who might be going into sin. Be different. Be different. Yes, they may still be Christians, but I know some Christians get into trouble. They make bad decisions. Don't do it. Stay out of trouble. It's an exhortation. Adam Clark says sober-mindedness in young men is a rare qualification. And they who have it not plunge into excess and irregularities. That's those who don't have it. They have problems, don't they? Exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Application. If you're an AWIT young man, be exhorted to be of sound mind. It takes effort. It takes effort to be of sound mind. But you're exhorted by Paul to be of sound mind. God wants us to be of sound mind. Now, number 19, exhorted to contend earnestly for the faith. Turn with me. Jude 1, please. Just the book of Jude, right before Revelation. Verse 3, it says, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all just delivered to the saints. They're to be diligent. They're being here just exhorted to contend earnestly for the faith. Faith is a battle. The devil doesn't want you to believe. The world doesn't want you to believe, and neither does your flesh. There's a battle going on each and every day. And that word contend means to struggle for. Struggle for the faith. Faith is worth the fight. Struggle. Wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality and powers. It's a spiritual battle. The New Believer's Bible Commentary says we must contend without being contentious and testify just without ruining our testimony. There are those out there, they don't want you to believe. I would think about my dad. He says, you have your faith, I have mine, I don't want to hear about yours. Yeah, I don't want to hear about it. And so sometimes we can't even talk about it. He doesn't want to hear it. There's a battle. There's a battle. So the application, faith isn't easy. Are you contending for the faith? Are you contending, struggling for the faith? Or are you a bystander? Think about the Super Bowl tonight. What, 80,000 fans watching 104 players play, or just however many's on the field? You got a lot of bystanders who paid a lot of money to watch. We need to be involved in the game. Contend for the faith. Number 20, exhorted to continue in the faith. Turn with me back to Acts 14, please. Acts chapter 14. verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Paul exhorted the early churches to continue in the faith. There was a lot of tribulation going on. There was a lot of persecution taking place. And Paul called them near. He begged them, continue in the faith. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't turn away. Continue in the faith. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And that word continue means to hold fast, to be true to abide by, to keep, to preserve in the faith. In the faith. Why were they exhorted to continue in the faith? Yeah, tribulations. Do you have tribulations? Yeah, we all do. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it is spiritual. Sometimes it's caused by us, and sometimes it's caused by others. But we all have problems, battles, tribulations that just we must fight on a daily basis. But continue in the faith. Don't give up. Don't give up. Many today do. They simply walk away and think nothing of it. Yeah, I don't need church anymore. That's a waste of my time. Then I'm often surprised by what those who think being a what Christian means life is easy. It's not. It's not. It's a battle. We will face many tribulations. Think about just what the government's doing now. With abortion up in New York State, in what New York City, with the homosexual rights, who can't deny baking a cake for this couple who is not living according to God's word, the homosexuals. Think about all those battles taking place, and that's just some of them. Some schools, they don't want Bibles in the school, and you can't have a Bible club in the school, and you can't even talk about God in the schools, some of them. There are battles taking place. Application, hold fast the faith, preserve. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Persevere. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, I think I've got two or three points left. Why should we exhort one another? Turn to Hebrews 10, please. Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. 23 to 25 tells us why. It says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider just one another in order to stir up what love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And what so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, Jesus is coming back. And every day is one day closer. Read that to you. Because Christ is about to return, that's why we should be exhorting one another. Christ is going to return, he promised. He will return. Some in that day just were abandoning Christianity. They were deserting. In fact, Hebrews talks about apostasy. But we need to exhort one another. So let's exhort one another. Let's exhort one another to be here. Three times a week. That's not much to ask. It's only 3 hours, 4 hours if you include Sunday school. It's not that much. People go to work. How many hours a day? Some up to 12, 13 hours a day, and they can't be in church for five. We need to exhort one another. Exhort one another. Next question. So how often should we exhort one another? Yes, let's go back to Hebrews 3. You got it. Every day. Hebrews 3, verse 13 tells us. But exhort one another, just one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sometimes my with children, they don't want to hear the same thing every day. Especially Cody. But yet, I am told, exhort one another daily. Daily, exhort each other. When somebody is what doing that, don't be offended. They're obeying God's command. Exhort one another daily. We need just to exhort one another each and every day. Daily means throughout, along the way. Throughout the day and along the way. Why daily? Well, look at the rest of the verse. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's all based on sin. We need to exhort one another because sin is deceitful. Sins are deceitful. And we need to be exhorted. Exhorted each and every day. We need one another. We don't exhort ourselves, but we exhort one another. We are a body, and each of us needs exhortation. Application. Do you exhort others daily? Do you exhort others daily? And this exhortation isn't pick up your clothes, clean your room, do the dishes. No, it's about the things of God. And we need to exhort, call near, beg earnestly to do just what the Lord commands. And then lastly, how to exhort, 2 Timothy 4:2. Let me do this one quickly, we're out of time. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Just convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and patience. Oh boy, there's long-suffering and patience again. Just we had that in Sunday school, right? A couple months ago. Patience, long-suffering, patience and teaching. Long-suffering, patience and what doctrine, instruction, or what teaching? We need to be doing that daily because of the deceitfulness of sin. And it takes patience and it takes instruction, the Word of God. Let's always be exhorting just one another, as God tells us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and that we are told, Lord, to exhort one another, to call near, to beg earnestly, to do what is said. Lord, Lord, help us just to exhort just one another because of the deceitfulness of sin. And Lord, help us to do it daily because we need it. And Lord, help us just to live in obedience to you. May we be doers of the word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen.